Well, guys, had them all the way.
Yeah, as long as you started the game in the third quarter.
Well, that's okay. It's how you finish, right?
It's true.
P-H-I-N.
Oh, I see the cover you did there.
Right. Nice.
Mocking the Dolphins and losing effort. I see what you did.
Nice finish.
Yeah, nice finish. That was the cover of PFW this week.
It's a good one.
And it was a good finish, but it wasn't such a good start.
Hideous.
Can we explain it?
Paul?
Well, offensively, unfortunately, it's not all that uncommon what we saw in the first half. They really struggled to get things going. But what I was most excited about, and because I tend to be a little bit on the positive side, Freddie, I'm going to focus on the defense. To me, without Aqib Talib, you saw some signs that maybe this defense wasn't quite as good as what we saw early in the season. They gave up 30 to the Jets. And then it didn't look good at halftime. Miami having 17 on the board, and all of a sudden it all changed. The big plays, the strip sacks and turnovers, and all of a sudden you're pitching a shutout in the second half. That, to me, was very impressive, the way the defense took the game over in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I assume you agree.
I agree. You know, I
don't rain on my parade. Don't rain on my parade. I'm Mr. Positive.
That's now lost four in a row.
You're right.
That has a bad offensive line that can't protect the quarterback. That's been an issue for them all year. And, oh, by the way, a big part of you shutting them out and having success in the second half was six sacks, a strip sack. Sack, blitzes off the edge.
Couple of missed field goals.
Bryant McKinney is starting a game for the team at left tackle, the most important position on the line, a couple days after joining the team. There's a lot of reasons to look for. You should have success.
Why did you hire
him? Well, yeah, but let's look at it. You know, Miami's been competitive pretty much in every game they've been in. This, they're a better team than they have been.
They were competitive in this one.
You know, they have weapons on offense, and clearly in the first half, this defense is missing Talib. They're missing Kelly. They're missing Will Port. They're missing Mayo. And that was a factor. And I think Miami went into the game thinking, we're going to take advantage of that. And they did for the most part. Yeah.
They did. They ran the ball down your throat. Another game where you gave up 100 yards in just 30 minutes of football. Third straight game. They stayed on the field on third down. Everybody wants to talk about third down offense. Third down defense continues to be an issue. You got the three and out early. It looked great. You got a couple tackles for a loss. Okay, it's a good start. And then you throw the pick and they get the ball back. And they just first down. I think they had three or four third down conversions on that drive. Went five of their next six. And all of a sudden, the defense isn't feeling good. They're running the ball. It was sort of falling apart there early.
Well, I think the defense for the Patriots right now is more easily understood and explained. You know, we know who's missing. The offense is the enigma wrapped in the riddle, you know.
In a conundrum?
Right. You know, so what is going on there? I know there was a big story going in the game, Tom Brady's hand. They had close-ups, and it did look like it was swollen.
And he kept putting it in the pouch, and he kept putting it under something on the sideline. It's clearly an issue.
Do you think that affected his throws?
I mean, he hasn't looked good for a while. I mean, last week, was it hurt? The week before, was it hurt? When did this happen? You know, a lot of people think it happened last week, and he hit it on a helmet. The offense hasn't looked good. They're still struggling. They're struggling to stay on the field. The one concern I have is you had Amendola back. You had Gronkowski back. And we had talked about it. Who knows how long they'll stay on the field together. But with Gronk and Amendola on the field together, you have the semblance of the offense you wanted to create this year. And you had 25 yards passing in the first half. You couldn't convert on third downs. You couldn't move the ball through the air. Ridley didn't even play early. The running game was eh. I mean, again, protection was an issue. They're just all the same problems continue to be problems, even though you're getting some of your guys back.
So then what happened in the second half? Why all of a sudden were they productive enough, you know, to score 24 points?
Yeah, I don't think the offense got that much better in the second half. The defense, I think, did. I think the defense elevated their play a little bit. I think the offense, you know, you finished 2 of 10 on third down. It's not like you suddenly stayed on the
field.
Those
problems still continue.
You benefited from a missed field goal, taking over possession, and having not necessarily drive 80 yards to score. I mean, it was better. They scored in the third quarter. They hadn't done that all year in terms of putting touchdowns on the board, so that's better, but baby step.
Also some huge penalties in there, too, to extend the drives for the Patriots. I agree with Andy. I thought that the tide turned defensively. I thought the Patriots' defense, like it has been the case really all season long, was really there to get the Patriots' offense, pick them up and help them out a lot, because I'm not sure if they had to drive 80-plus yards four or five times in the second half, it would have happened.
They couldn't because they can't stay on the field. They can't convert a third
down. They're not converting well enough.
1 of 12, 5 of 15, 1 of 12, 2 of 10.
I know. Third.
Well, okay, well, just roll our eyes and move past it. It's not a problem. 6-2, Super Bowl.
But then, you know, going back to Solder in the offensive line, the injury to Vollmer was as terrible as I've ever heard one.
Didn't even sound good from the press box.
No. Yeah, you could hear him screaming it. Not only did we think he broke his leg, but then he had like 700 pounds fall on it, which even made it worse. So, you know, it was...
It's a shame.
It's a shame. Patriots are going to have the next man up, whether it's Vitek or Cannon, moving to that right tackle spot. you know, they'll just have to make do, I guess.
I would assume it's Cannon because he stepped in, obviously, in the game and finished the game. But to me, that's a major concern because I've been very critical of the offensive line as it is. You know, when it was healthy and you had all your guys, you know, everybody considers Sebastian Vollmer one of the best right tackles in football. We've had questions about Ryan Wendell. Dan Conley is who he is. Now you put Cannon, who's never really done it in his two-plus years in the NFL. Now you have three guys in a row there for a line that, oh, by the way, has given up 16 sacks in the last four games. So the pressure that's leading to the questionable play from Brady, which is leading to the poor third-down conversions, there's a chance it snowballs even worse. You know, I hope Cannon's up for the job, but we're going to find out.
And we've seen Brady running around a little bit. I know that you're really happy about that.
You'd love to see him run.
It scares the crap out of me.
I think when there's no one open and all there is in front of you is green,
yeah,
take
I know.
It.
But,
take it.
But here's what the flip side of that is, that, you know, which we make light of the illegal bat play, okay? Well, that was a play that he was sort of, there was no one around, and he's running around, moving around, and all of a sudden he got his light switch turned off by Jimmy Wilson to cause that fumble. He had no idea he was there.
It's not the same.
Fred, my point is when you run, you don't know if there's nobody there. That's my point.
But
a guy can come out of nowhere.
If you're just standing there and you get hit from
He wasn't just standing there. That's my point. He's moving around into open areas. I don't want him moving around. I want him comfortable in the pocket, and the offensive line, to Andy's point, has to get better.
The defense gives you. You can't just swallow the ball every time. You have to keep getting positive yardage, and I think you need to do that. You know, if they know you're not going to run, they don't have to worry about it. At least
so much for the objective, Fred.
It is objective.
Wait, when was the objective?
All right,
I missed that early in the segment.
Steelers are coming to town.
Good thing it's the Steelers.
Big day for the offense, guaranteed. Big day for the offense.
The trading deadline didn't bring a sexy name like Randy Moss or Aqib Talib like the Patriots have done in the past. But I think they made a very wise move in picking up Isaac Sopawaga, defensive tackle from Philadelphia. He spent most of his career in San Francisco. This is exactly what the doctor ordered, a 330-pound run-stuffing defensive tackle. He's very durable. He missed his whole rookie season with an injury, but just three games since. This is the kind of guy that can come in. He can help out those kids up front. With Vince Wilfork out of the lineup, the Patriots needed to find a way to stop the run. Sopawaga will help. The Patriots' offense has struggled all season long. It's no secret. But the reason they're 6-2 and they've been able to win has been because of Steven Gostkowski. He has been money on field goals, 20 for 21 on the season, 9 kicks from 40 yards or more, on pace to shatter Adam Vinatieri's mark of 10 for a single season, and we're only halfway through. The reason with enough points is because their kicker has been their best player on offense. Third downs have been a problem for the Patriots offense all season. We've talked a lot about that as well. But we haven't talked as much about the problems that the third down defense is experiencing, especially lately. The Jets absolutely riddled them on third down, and Miami was just as good, just under 50% last week. This is a problem that's really been under the radar. The Patriots are 23rd in the league in third down defense, allowing way too many conversions. This is going to need to stop, and this is going to need to stop in a hurry.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Okay, it's Halloween week. Yeah. Are you a big Halloween guy?
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
All right, let's get to this week's Images of the Week. This first one is Logan Ryan. He's becoming quite the playmaker for the New England Patriots. This next one is a shot of the interception where Devin McCourty tipped it to Marquise Cole. Unbelievable play. Get a load of how high off the ground Devin McCourty is. Here's Aaron Dobson with his touchdown pass. It's just good to see these young kids catching touchdowns. Tompkins before, now Dobson. Finally, I just love this picture. Obviously, this had to be the first half.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, return of Andre Carter. Andre, good to have you back. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, doing good, doing well.
How does it feel to go from the street to playing a pretty good number of snaps in an NFL game a few days later?
Well, as somebody says, like kind of like riding a bike. You get a little rusty from time to time, but it just comes second nature. And it was great to be back. Great to be back on a old territory, and the crowds were very welcoming, and I was very appreciative. But the adrenaline was still there. Crowd was pumping. I had a blast.
What is the same and what's different from when you were here in 2011?
Same. It's Pat's country. It's Pat's territory. That, I think, despite no matter how long you're away or how long you're in this organization, that remains the same. But what's different? The players. Definitely a different team from 2001 to 2013. You got a lot of young faces. I was talking to a coach earlier saying it felt like you're on a college team. You're dealing with freshman, sophomore guys, you know, first year, second year guys. So that's different. But some of the same faces I know are familiar with. Tom Brady, of course. I think I've helped him out because he's still an old guy, but I'm probably the second oldest and everybody else. But it's great to be back, though.
When you got back here last week, you talked about it was sort of the Patriots or retirement. This is the only place you wanted to be. What is that like for an older player when you're reaching that point where it's sort of crossroads?
You know, for me, it was just I just had such a strong connection with this organization. Not so much as far as the accolades that I received in 2011, but just the level of camaraderie that I shared with Vince Wilfork, Mayo, Tom Brady. Just a great group of guys that just came out each and every day, practiced hard, worked hard, and played hard come Sunday. And so when you have that connection, you remember that. And if that was an opportunity to come back and experience that again, hey, why not?
Okay, it's Halloween week. Yeah. Are you a big Halloween guy?
When I was a kid. But I live through my son now. My son's 5 years old, about to be six. He's looking good, and he has two parties. Well, actually, he has one party, and of course, trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating. Now that I'm back with Patriots, he's dressed up as a Patriots player. For his party, I think he's a Superman. I think he's a superhero, so I think he's going to be Superman or Wolverine. I got to ask my wife.
As is so often the case in NFL matchups, turnovers could be the key to this football game. Patriots have taken care of the football this year, +7 turnover margin, forced a turnover in 35 straight games, 16 forced turnovers this year. Steelers, other end of the spectrum, -9, 29th in the NFL, and have only forced 5 turnovers all year. Take care of the football and take it away from the Steelers. Pressure should be a big topic this week between the Patriots and the Steelers. Both quarterbacks, Big Ben, Tom Brady, have been sacked a total of 16 times in the last 4 games alone. Issues on both offensive lines. Patriots have created some pressure of late, obviously 6 sacks in the win over the Dolphins. Pittsburgh, Dick LeBeau's Blitzburg defense, not getting it done. Only 10 sacks as a team, and Lamar Woodley has 5 of those. Protect the quarterback this week. It's been a problem for both teams. Finally, for the Patriots defense, it's about the run defense. It's been a little shaky of late without Gerard Mayo and Vince Wilfork. Chris Jones, Joe Villano trying their best, but 100 yards have been allowed in just 30 minutes of football each of the last 3 games. Luckily, Patriots don't have to worry about that too much because Pittsburgh does not run the ball well. 30th in the NFL rushing yards per game. Le'Veon Bell, the rookie, has given them a little bit of a boost, 90 yards 2 weeks ago against the Ravens. But really, you should be able to stop the run this week in a Pittsburgh team that doesn't have that classic ground game.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
This offense has nobody, literally nobody, who's playing consistently well right now other than Steven Ridley.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
In case you missed it over the weekend, defensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders, Jason Tarver, was fined $5,000 for flipping the bird to the referee. And, you know, he probably deserved to get the fine, but not for the bird, but how he did it. It was probably the weakest attempts at flipping the bird I've ever seen. And by the way, the referees deserved it. It was a terrible call against Mike Jenkins for helmet to helmet. But, you know, Jason, when you got to flip the bird, you got to do it in front of you. You got to do it with, you know, gusto. You can't just do it over your head like nothing. You really have to show the refs how mad you are. That's why I fine you.
Last week, Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones made a ridiculous comment comparing Tony Romo and LeBron James, explaining how we would all appreciate Romo more like LeBron if he could validate his career by winning a ring. This is just completely absurd. First of all, LeBron, childhood prodigy, number one overall pick of the draft. Tony Romo played at Eastern Illinois, wasn't drafted at all. LeBron single-handedly brought bad Cleveland teams deep into the playoffs, even got them to the finals one year. Romo in seven-plus seasons as the Cowboys quarterback, one playoff win, perennially 500. They say everything is bigger in Texas. Evidently, their bad analogies are bigger as well.
Former Patriots safety Brandon Merriweather's in trouble again for his headhunting ways. He served a one-game suspension for another hit to the head. Then he got in a little bit of a war of the words this week with Brandon Marshall, the Bears receiver. Marshall said Merriweather should be out of the league for trying to end guys' careers. Merriweather fought back by saying guys who have domestic violence issues should be out of the league. I don't know what Brandon Merriweather's doing, but he is coming off as a true idiot. And not the likable idiot like the Red Sox of about a decade ago, an absolute idiot. He's a headhunter. He looks like he's trying to hurt people. He's a guy that's now bringing up off-field issues. And, oh, by the way, he's got plenty of skeletons in his closet. And now he says, oh, I have to go low and end guys' careers by hitting him in the knee. Brandon Merriweather, I don't know what you're doing, but you're saying dumb things. You're doing dumb things. I once got kicked off a radio show by my boss, Fred Kirsch, for saying something dumb. You know what he said to me? Just go. Just go. That's what Merriweather should do.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The offense continues to struggle. Is it time to turn it over to the running game?
I know he's a little biased, but I think Stephen Ridley put it best in the postgame locker room the other night. There's a lot of change going on everywhere else on the offense. The running back room is relatively consistent, and Ridley is running as well as he has all year. It's time to give him more chances. He's had 4.5 yards or better each of the last three games. A couple of those against pretty good run defenses, by the way, and 5 of the 7 games he's played in this year. The offensive line wants to run block, the running backs want to run, and the quarterback can't throw. Sounds like it's time to run the ball.
I'm going to be a little contradictory here. I don't have any problem with turning it over to Ridley. I want Ridley to get the majority of the carries, if not all of the carries. I just don't want to run the ball any more often than they already are. I think it's hard to win in the NFL with a ground-oriented attack. I just think the points by nature are going to be down, and it's going to be a lot of slugfest. And I think it's a hard way to try to win long-term. You can win regular season games. You can be competitive in games. And when you're well-coached the way the Patriots are, you can find a way to squeak out some victories. But to me, in order to get to where you want to be, and that's deep into the playoffs in the Super Bowl, you got to put points on the board. You got to get in the 30s, and you got to throw the ball to do that.
You know how else it's hard to win in the NFL? You want to answer?
No.
When it's 50% completion percentage, when it's 3 to 5 sacks a game, when it's a 70 passer rating, when it's throwing interceptions to start the game, where it's not establishing the run early, where it's having your 1,200-yard back on the sideline as you dig a 17-3 halftime advantage for the opposition. Run the ball. Why is it so hard? This offense has nobody, literally nobody, who's playing consistently well right now other than Stephen Ridley. Okay. You have a 1,200-yard back who is itching to do his job and carry the load. Give him that chance. The passing game has had a half a season to come together. It's not working.
Okay, well, as long as you're just going to focus on one game, I'm going to look at that game a little bit further. Do you know what the run-pass breakdown in the first half of that miserable performance was? 15 runs, 8 passes.
Right.
So how much more do you want to run the ball? Every time? Should they run it every play?
I think they should run it a lot more than they have.
You need to get this pass. I agree with everything you're saying about the passing game and how it struggled. If you don't fix it, you're not going anywhere.
Everybody wants to compare this team to 2003, 2004, when they ran the football and played defense. Those two things are actually doing their jobs right now. The running game, when given a chance, has been successful. The defense has been successful when given a chance.
I agree.
It's the passing game that is dragging this team down, and yet they continue to throw the ball more than they run it. They're over 100 touches out of balance, basically, for the year. It's like 340 passes to 230 carries. Run the football. Balance it out. Josh McDaniels, you say you want to be balanced, but you throw the ball too often, and it's not working.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Mm-hmm. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, we've come to that portion of the show where we answer your questions here on PFW. But first, as always, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Where's my backdrop and my big logo? What's going on here?
It's down for repairs.
Yeah, people didn't like that the Panthers moved way up last week. I lost my backdrop.
It's gone where your ranking should be.
Hey. Very solid among the top teams. 1, 2, and 3 stay the same. We got Seahawks, Saints, Chiefs, 49ers up a little bit, Colts down. Patriots dropped 1 with the victory. Telling you kind of how ugly that victory was.
Okay.
Even though you won, you dropped down to 9th, but you stay in the top 10.
I'm starting to come around to this.
Oh, nice. I'm glad.
So the Patriots going down, you like?
Well, no,
but it's like a whole bizarro Fred again.
Some of the things are making sense, though.
Okay, and what makes
Colts
sense
dropping in a bye week?
Is the bottom of the league. 29, 30, 31, 32 have stayed the same, and your Jacksonville Jaguars are extending their lead for number 32 in the rankings.
Actually, Andy's mom called and said, stop making fun of my son. Hey. But anyway,
I'll bring up my mother on the show.
All right, so let's get to the questions that you sent to us. Gary Abrams writes in, and he wants to know, how involved is Bill Belichick in the offensive play calling? Goes down a list of why he's questioning that. And wants to know if he should be, if he's not, more involved.
I think Belichick is involved in every aspect of this team. I think we can say that with some pretty good certainty. I know game plan-wise, he's the guy that's putting it all together. He's telling Josh McDaniels what he wants to have done during the course of the game. Now, the specific play from down to down or from series to series, I think Josh probably calls more than, you know, a fair share of them, if not all of them. But I do think there are times that Bill steps in and says, listen, you know, we got it going here. We've seen enough of these mic'd up segments where, you know, he's telling Bill O'Brien or Josh McDaniels, hey, we got him on the run now. Just keep throwing it, throw it, throw it. So he certainly has the ability to do that. I think the actual play call is Josh McDaniels's, but I also think Belichick has got his hands in everything.
And let's remember, when they put that play sheet together, there's a group of first and long plays, second and long, third and long. So it's not like Josh is just being creative any play he wants to think of. There are a group of plays that Bill and Josh and Brady have put together earlier in the week that in this situation, these are the few we're going to call. So it's a limited number he's picking from even when he calls them.
That's it for this week's question. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.